Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This morning, we are pleased to welcome Barbara Schuholm, and she is the editor of a collection of stories called Sami Folk Tales and Legends by Emily DeMont Hatt, and she's the translator of a book called Clearing Out by Helene Urie. So we're kind of working in a twofer this morning. Barbara, thanks so much for joining us. Great to have you along with us. Hi there.
Hi there.
Nice to have you again with us. The theme, I guess, of these two books a little bit has to do kind of with the Sami people. And of course, we've got a lot of Scandinavians in this part of the world. But in case folks aren't really familiar with who they are, can you give us a little context?
The Sami are the indigenous people of the north in Scandinavia and the Nordic countries in Norway, Sweden, Finland, and the Kola Peninsula in Russia.
All right. So the first book that we're going to talk about this morning is a book called Clearing Out. And this is a book that you translated. And it has to do with Helene Urie's own journey into her family ancestry. There's a character in the book who is a novelist named Helene, and she's living in Oslo, and she's working on a novel. And then there's a character in her novel that discovers that there's a character in her novel that ties in with the Sami people also. But then Helene, the author in the book, discovers that she has a grandfather who was a Sami fisherman, and this is something that nobody in her family talked about. Now, in an environment here where we are all surrounded by Scandinavians, the idea that something happens in your family that you don't talk about is nothing new. But tell us a little bit more about this idea. Was there some kind of a stigma or something associated with the fact that that she had a relative who was of Sami ancestry?
Yes, there was a lot of discrimination and prejudice against the Sami for centuries, really. But in the 20th century, a lot of Sami then began to often disguise their heritage in Norway and Sweden. Many also immigrated to North America because they weren't able to get proper jobs or own land often. And so being Sami sometimes began to be something that happened in the past and people didn't speak of it. And that's true in North America. You know, a lot of Scandinavian immigrants came to the Midwest and to the Pacific Northwest, where I'm from. They didn't talk about it. So in Norway, Helene Urie's grandfather, who was the son of a Sami fisherman, had never spoken of this. He went to technological college. He became an engineer. It was never mentioned in the family. So one day, thanks to modern genealogy, Helene got a surprise phone call from a relative up in Hammerfest who said they were related. And that kind of began a journey for her, which she also then worked out in her fictional counterpart, Eleanor, who is a linguist, who is sent up to the north around Hammerfest to do a project on dying languages.
I'm really intrigued with the work that a translator does. I just reread The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo trilogy by Stieg Larsson. And, of course, Stieg Larsson got wonderful praise for this trilogy, as he should have, and we're all heartbroken that he's passed, and we can't look forward to any more books from him. And yet I'm fascinated by, and I wonder how much of the credit goes to his translator that really made, at least for English speakers and English readers, really made that prose sing. Because I would imagine that it's just not that easy to translate from one language to another. You would have a lot of deliberate choices to make about words that you use, depending on your perception of what the character is thinking or feeling and doing. Talk about that, the work of being a translator a little bit, and where you feel as though you need and how you go about trying to preserve the author's voice.
No, great questions. I think the most important thing for a translator in some ways is to be a good writer, because if you're not a good writer in your own language, you can't actually transfer the power of another author in another language. And then, of course, you need to be familiar with idioms. You need to probably have lived in the country, spoken the language, so that you know what they're talking about. One thing that I think helped me compared to these days translating compared to translating in the past is that the internet supplies pictures for lots of things. And Helena Uri is very specific about talking about things. One of the things that happens in the novel is that her mother dies, so there's a process of clearing out her mother's apartment. And so there are lots of objects that she describes, and some of them I asked Helena about in email, but other things I was able to find on the internet. So there, you need to have a lot of specific knowledge, but the most important thing is you need to be able to feel what the author is saying and then find the equivalent in English, and that depends on your own skill, I think, as a writer.
That is, again, just a fascinating glimpse into that world, because there are so many different words that you can choose for things, and so you've really got to have a phenomenal grasp of both languages so that you can reach for the right word.
Right. And it's interesting because Norwegian has a smaller vocabulary than English. English draws from so many sources, from Anglo-Saxon, from Germanic, from the Romance languages, and Norwegian is a purer language in some ways. So when you're looking at the dictionary, there'll be a Norwegian word, and there'll be 10 English words you could use. So you do have to sort of filter it through your own understanding. What would be right here? What words do I like as an author?
Yes, fascinating. Now, the other book that you also worked on as an editor, you had the advantage and the disadvantage that the original author has been gone for many years. The author is Emily Dement.
Hot.
Yes. Uh-huh. And she lived between 1873 and 1958.
Right.
She was retelling in this book, it's a wonderful retelling, of a bunch of Sami folk tales. Talk about that book a little bit.
Well, this book is called By the Fire, and I translated it from Danish, as well as edited it and wrote an afterword and with information and research on the storytellers. And she was a really interesting woman who grew up in a small town in Denmark, but ended up going up to Lapland in 1904. She was fascinated by the Sami people. She began to study them, to live with them, to travel with them over the next 15 years. And so she wrote a fantastic travel narrative about her time with them, which I also translated, called With the Lapps in the High Mountains. And then she also had about 500 pages of field notes. And in these field notes, she had written down not only details about the ordinary lives of the Sami people, but she had collected folk tales. So later in her career, in 1922, she reproduced about 65 of these folk tales with her own illustrations, because she was also a very trained, accomplished artist. So there are lino cuts in them. And so she had listened to the stories in Sami, or sometimes a combination of Sami and Swedish, and then she wrote them down in Danish. So I translated them from the Danish. One of the things I tried to do in this book is reunite the names of the storytellers with the stories that they had told, and to give more prominence to the storytellers. I looked for biographical material about them in Sweden, and also found photographs of them. So that kind of supplements this book. So it's not just her, it's her and these 13 storytellers, many of whom are women.
It's interesting, the idea, as we talk about translation and we talk about words that she needed to translate from Sami or Swedish, as you mentioned, and then she translated it into Danish, and now you're translating it again into English. Did you feel at any point in that process that you needed to check with anybody perhaps any Sami people that you might know to say, you know, this has been filtered through a couple of different languages now. Am I still on the right track? Or how was that process fraught a little bit, especially since you couldn't go back and ask her?
Right. It wasn't too fraught. I did get a couple of readers who are, one is a very well-known Sami professor in Tromsø, who looked at some things and answered some questions. And there's also a woman who has studied Sami folk tales extensively, who is French, but she lives in Sweden and Finland. And so they were helpful for some things. I was pretty familiar with Amelia de Montjot's work because I've also written a biography of her, Black Fox. It was published a couple of years ago. So I have studied her field notes, and I have spent a huge amount of time in Sweden and talked to Sami people for many, many years now, probably about 15 years. And I think that I could have, here and there she reproduces more Sami language, and I could have left some of that in. But this book is really for the general reader, so I didn't want to bog it down too much because most of us really can't read Sami. You know, as my job as a translator is to kind of give a feeling sometimes for the words like sida and nwaidi and familiar words, for instance, community, shaman. Leave some of those in so there's a flavor, but not make people think, I don't know what she's talking about. What's going on here?
Were you excited at the prospect of these folktales having the opportunity to travel across their original borders, and also perhaps back into the space where maybe they belong, being read or shared with people, with kids, people sitting by the fire perhaps, and sharing these stories again?
I'm so excited. I'm really pleased. Some of the stories are very funny. Some of them are eerie. Some of them are violent. They show the Sami being resilient and standing up to their supernatural and real enemies. So a few might be a little bit scary for kids, but there are other stories that are for about animals. And I think that, you know, a number of these stories have never, most of them have never been published in English before. So for Sami Americans, as well as people who are interested in Scandinavia, Nordic culture as a whole, this is part of Nordic culture. You know, it's part of the heritage of many of us. So I'm really thrilled to kind of reintroduce that or introduce it for the first time.
I realize that as an author, a translator, an editor, that to be an anthropologist, perhaps, or studying social structure is perhaps part of what you do, but certainly not the primary thing that you do. But I'm curious, as you worked with these materials and as you worked with these stories, if some of the parallels between the native Sami people's experience in Scandinavia and our Native American people here in the United States, if those things were in your mind and if you wondered about them or thought about them or pondered about them at all?
Oh, absolutely. I think there are many parallels in terms of colonization and suppression, as well as regeneration, resilience, and taking the culture onward. And I think that the Sami people, as they began to politically organize in the early 20th century, reached out beyond their own borders. And they are an indigenous population, which has made common cause with other indigenous populations. Their Sami travel to the States. Sami travel to other conferences. They're recognized by the UN. And I think that indigenous people all over the world are under great threat, you know, in terms of culture and the environment. And I think that, you know, there's a strength in unity and in shared history. How, you know, people look at other groups and sort of think, how do you maintain your culture? How do you keep this culture that has been really identified with one place for 4,000 years, 5,000 years, when you may not be able to live there any longer? I'm kind of edging into the environment. But I do think that, yeah, this was always in my mind, and I'm really pleased to do my little bit to make these wonderful Sami folktales available.
Barbara Schuholm is the translator and editor of a book called By the Fire, Sami Folktales and Legends, and she's the translator of a book called Clearing Out. Well, we've talked about so many books this morning. We'll get links set up to as many of them as possible on our website at KUMD.org. And Barbara, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. Fascinating conversation.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Barbara Schuholm, our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.